Hey, a very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 11th April 2022, Tuesday class. Let us gather for physical puja. Let us compose our mind, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Quan Sinh Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sinh Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sinh Bồ Tát. Namo Ami Tho Phật. Namo Ami Tho Phật. Namo Ami Tho Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Bhusen Bhusa. Namo Bhusen Bhusa. Namo Bhusen Bhusa. Namo Di Chang Vong Bhusa. Namo Di Chang Vong Bhusa. Namo Di Chang Vong Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svāgato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ namassami. Suppatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato Arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vērammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinātānā vērammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micācārāṃ Vērammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mussāvādā vērammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmērāya macchāpamādattānā vērammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, now you turn to page 3 of the chanting book. And we will continue our chanting from the Padipa Puja onward. Padipa Puja. Gannasarappadithena Dipena tamadhang sina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Kandasambhavayutena Dukkhenaham Supanghinam Pujaye Pujaniyantam Puja Bhajanamuttamam Vannakandakunopetam Etam Kusumasantatim Pujayami Munindasa Siripadasarorohe Pujemi Bhutang Kusumenanena Punnena Matena Chohotumukhang Bhupam Milayati Yata Idam Me Kayo Tatayati Vinasabhavang Adivasetuno Bhante Paniyam Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigam Hatumuttamang Adivasetuno Bhante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatumuttamang Adivasetuno Bhante Bhojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatumuttamang. Now let us chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay homage to Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. One small time, eh? A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Yeah. Today we have our new mic, huh? So we should thank Sister Alicia and family, huh, for making the offering. So looks like the mic is doing okay, yeah, and very well. So we don't have to worry about the mic for the next maybe 5 to 6 years. Yeah? The last one lasted us almost 8 years, I think. 8 years, which was quite good. Huh? Anyway, we will use it as a spare. Huh? Okay, so as usual, yeah, we will have our half an hour awareness-based meditation view of the light so that you all can develop this awareness-based meditation. Yeah. Remember the four support, especially the first three. Huh? These are important support to develop awareness within us. So without awareness, we cannot be heedful. Without heedfulness, the Buddha said we are as if dead. That's why awareness is very important. What you need to develop is the sati or mindfulness, or what we term as awareness within us. There is a mind that can just be aware without thought, without sankhara activity, without any other aggregates of mind. This is what we call our true mind, our silent mind. So we're supposed to realize that. So this awareness-based meditation is to help us develop this awareness within. The first support, as we all know, is to relax. The process of learning how to relax is very important. Relax your entire body and mind so that you are at ease. At ease means no issue, no problem. Like physically, you are in a state of relax, at ease. No tension, no stress. Nothing to disturb you, no pain, nothing. You are in a state of relax with normal condition. So relaxation is very important. Wherever there is any tightness, tension or stress within, you should relax it all. Whatever mind state that arises, also relax into it. So the mind that is relaxed is the mind that is without issue, without problem. Nothing to worry about, nothing to be fearful, relax. When you are not able to relax means your mind has problem, has issue. So they call it your mental attachment, clinging, grasping. You're holding on to things. You cannot free your mind. Ability to free one's mind is very important. Just let things be. Whatever happened, the causes and conditions are already there. So it cannot be otherwise. So when we can accept and be at peace, then we can be in a state of relaxed inner awareness to cope with situation, to deal with situation, to resolve issue amicably, to see clearly. That's why awareness is very important. Sati is very important. So once we are able to relax, half the effort that is needed to meditate is already realized or achieved. Because most people cannot develop the meditative mind is due to their inability to relax. Inability to relax means you are not able, yeah, to be at peace, not able to be in a state of tranquility, stillness. Your mind is preoccupied with something, or something is bothering you. So relaxation is the first support. Relax. And don't try to know, don't try to do anything. When you are relaxed, you are at peace, you are at ease. Just let things be. Then maintain awareness, the second support. And maintaining awareness is very important. Our ability to maintain awareness can allow us to free our mind. When we maintain awareness means we don't try to know, we don't try to do anything, we just aware, finish. Whatever that arises within our own form of mind, through any of the six senses, just maintain awareness, aware, finish, aware, finish. Don't allow the proliferation of thought to continue. Don't allow your curiosity or lack of mindfulness to distract you, to pull you away from that state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, so that the aggregates of mind does not arise. You can do that, then the second support will slowly stabilize. And the third support is maintain this awareness or sati. When you can maintain it for as long as you can, until that awareness within stabilize, that is the third support, and that is the most critical, most important. You can do that, then you are most of the time in this state of awareness. You are most of the time with your true mind, your silent mind, with inner awareness. Then let it stabilize. So when it stabilizes, you become ever mindful. You are not only mindful, aware, but you are ever mindful. And that is the first stage of heedfulness, appamana. Then when you are ever mindful, you have to develop the second part, which is constantly meditative, means use that silent mind to meditate, to develop wisdom, understanding, to develop the direct seeing, to insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So this first three support is already very good, and it can help one develop the understanding to realize the sainthood way, leading all the way from Sotapan to Sakadagami, Anagami, and finally Arahantship. Then after that, when your third support already is stable, you can go for the fourth support. The fourth support is to silence everything and just allow that nature to move. Means you develop the trust. Trust your nature to develop the further movement, the internal movement, the meditative movement. Trust is trusting your nature. Do not arise the thought. Do not interfere with the thought process. No more thinking, no more sankhara activity, no more doing, no more wanting to know. All this stop means you silence everything, stay at the heart area, and let that nature detect whatever there is within its vicinity, where there is any vibration or even your heartbeat. When that nature detects it, you just silence everything and stay with it. Be one with it. Then continue to relax and silence until it detects the gateway. When it detects the gateway, the form and mind that goes through the transformation will know. Okay, so this is how you develop the awareness-based meditation. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will send the alarm for 30 minutes. Okay. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with our invocation with the devas. Then to page 6 of the chanting book, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu. Atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma svanan kalo ayam paranta Dhamma svanan kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang padanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno Sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pajatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango Samici patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yaditang chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can visit that. And we shall continue from where we stop. We are at page 449 of this volume 3, chapter 2 of the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Commentaries by Master Xuan Hua. Okay, specific description of the five obstacles. So we come to the commentaries part. The Sutta say, I know that these living beings have never cultivated good roots. Who are these living beings? They are those lacking in wisdom, those confused beings who refuse to be taught by the Buddha. In former lives, they did not cultivate good roots, and so they are stupid. Those people who have good roots, they are intelligent, not stupid. Do I have good roots or not, you may ask. So here, I think I need to explain a bit. Mahayana, I like to use the word stupid. But those English educated, you know, when people scold you or say that you are stupid, it's very offensive, actually. Because stupidity. But you cannot blame the Mahayana, because those who are deluded, they are really, really stupid. Because stupidity is something that reflects your inability to understand truth. When you don't have the understanding of what truth is, then that word can be applied. Stupidity. So, a better word maybe is self-delusion. Means you are deluded. The more appropriate and more widely used English word is deluded. Deluded means you don't know and don't understand truth. You are being like a deluded person who doesn't understand life, doesn't understand moral value, certain basic principles based on truth or good values. So delusion can be a better word, but Mahayana use that word is because really it is something that can describe very appropriately people who don't have the Dhamma understanding. They become really like very stupid, knowing that it causes suffering, and yet they continue to arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, bringing about more suffering. That's why when you are deluded, you don't have the understanding, you become like very stupid. But there is another understanding of the opposite of stupid, which is intelligent. But when it comes to spiritual practice, spiritual cultivation, intelligent or cleverness, an intelligent person or a clever person may not be wise. So that part you have to bear in mind. When it comes to spiritual practice, it's about developing wisdom, cultivating wisdom, awakening to the truth, to realize the wisdom to free our mind. So wisdom is different from intelligent or knowledgeable person or clever people. A clever people can be deceitful too. An intelligent guy can also be deceitful, but a wise guy will never be deceitful. They are very, very different, because that wisdom allow them to differentiate between what is wise and unwise. Unwise lead to downfall, lead to suffering, whereas wisdom leads to non-delusion, leads to clear understanding that avoid falling into the evil destiny of negativity or karma. Okay, so with this we continue. Then the commentary say, Do I have good roots or not? You may ask. The Shen Hua's commentary is relatively good. He said, do not ask whether or not you have good roots. Ask whether or not you choose to cultivate in accord with the Dhamma. See, this is a wise person's advice or approach. Whether you choose to cultivate in accordance with the Dhamma way. If you rely upon the Buddha Dharma to cultivate, practice and uphold it, and keep the precepts, then even if you do not have good roots, don't worry. You will develop them. If you do not cultivate according to the Dhamma way, and having taken the precept, but you fail to observe them. So this is a very important reminder. A lot of people, they take refuge, then they renew their precepts, but they fail to observe them. So that one actually defeats the purpose. And because they fail to observe them means they didn't cultivate the Buddha Dharma, the essential Dharma, the right understanding. That's why they dare to do all those evil things, wrong things. And because they don't observe them, they also do no good deeds. They violated the five precepts and did a lot of evil deeds. Then you would soon have no more good roots at all, because good roots that you have cultivated from the past are like your karmic inheritance, your virtuous karmic inheritance, or good karmic inheritance. But once you use them and you don't cultivate any more virtue or good roots, then it will be depleted. Then there is a saying about selfishness. This one you must pay attention. If you could benefit all under heaven by pulling a single hair out of your head, I would not do it. See, this is selfishness. So I read again. If you could benefit all under heaven by pulling out a single hair out of your head, you would not do it. So that is selfishness. Selfish people would not do a great deed the size of one single hair to benefit someone else. Because to pull a hair out of your head is not a big deal. If they could benefit everyone in the world by pulling out just one hair from their head, they would not do it. They think, well, if I pull out one of my hair, it would hurt a lot. And what difference does it make to me whether or not everyone under heaven gain benefit? Or not. So what? What is in it for me? See, self-benefacting. For me and not for me. I'm not going to do it. So selfish people, deluded people will have this thought. You are like that. If you do not cultivate in accord with Dhamma or following the Dhamma way, then even if you have good roots, you soon would have none. If you cultivate in accord with the Dhamma, then even if you do not have good roots, you will get them. Do not ask whether or not you have good roots. So this one, I came across many Kayamita in the early days, because before they understand the true Dhamma, they always have this thought, because they read from the book. They will come and ask me, is it pretty? I was told, you got no good roots, you cannot cultivate, you cannot practice. You heard of this before? Don't have good roots, don't waste your time, David. Forget about cultivation. You don't have gurus. Then I laugh. I said, you believe? Because a lot of things when it comes to cultivation, you don't really need to like develop great wisdom to understand all these basic questions. All this type of question, I say, what is good root? He said, good root means do a lot of good things. So, what is doing a lot of good things? Do you think you must have money to donate? Only can do good things? Dana parami donation is one of the virtue or parami. But you don't have to do that. By radiating love, metta, you are actually doing a good deed. Understand? Not? By having no negativity, like respect, pay respect, triple gem. All the good roots are there already. Because you cultivate affinity with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, I say. Rejoicing also give you merits. You are cultivating good roots. All the 10 meritorious actions can bring about good roots. As long as you can avoid all evil, keep your precept, and cultivate virtue, goodness, you will have good roots. Why you worry if people say, if in the past you don't have good root, you cannot cultivate? Then the other thing I used to tell them is, do you know now you are born within the Buddha Sasana? You think it's easy to be born as a human being during the Buddha Sasana? But then only they start to understand. That's why I said, don't ever look down upon yourself. Don't always believe what people tell you that you have not developed or cultivated any good roots. That's why this life, you cannot cultivate one. You're very child and you cannot, everything will look at. Where got such thing? In fact, during the Buddha's time also, it happened before. The very, like, very child and very dumb one, I can't even remember one stanza. Suddenly, the Buddha approached and advised, become Arahant overnight. It's not about you have good roots or not. It's about your affinity with the cultivation, with the Dhamma, with the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. When you have affinity with the Dhamma, you will definitely be able to develop the right view to cultivate the good and wholesome action, speech, and thought process, thereby leading to good roots and affinity with the triple gem. So if you look at the way your life is, this life, you more or less can conclude what are your past, your coming, inherited. Because according to the Buddha, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever life you take, it's a lot to do with your past karmic conditioning. So if you want to have the good life, you have to take care of karma. You have to continue to do what you have to do, means cultivate following the Dhamma way. Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, purify your mind, develop Dhamma wisdom. Follow the Avijja Sutta, cultivate sincerely with faith, sadha, virya, then develop sati, stabilize it into samadhi. Then wisdom will keep arising. And that is what cultivation is all about. So please don't worry about what people say, whether you have good roots or no good roots. Because to develop good roots is very simple. Just sincerely pay respect to Triple Gem. All the good roots are there already. Then keep your precept, develop mindfulness, be heedful. The way is already there. Dhamma will unfold, and you will have a lot of wholesome roots, good roots. And it's just as simple as that. No need to like worry about what the books say, what the monks say, or what people say. Forget about it. Most important thing is, what are you doing in the name of cultivation? Are you really sincerely, diligently cultivating the Dhamma? If you have that, then you don't have to worry about what people say or whatever people may interpret about cultivation. Most important is to be sincere, to have the faith, and diligently walk this way without delusion. When your faith is there, it will drive you. Saddha will bring forth the virya. Then when you know the Buddha Dhamma, you will cultivate sati, mindfulness, stabilize it to samadhi. Then your spiritual faculties, the four, will fall into place. Saddha, virya, sati, samadhi. With sati and samadhi, your mind becomes tranquil, still, with clarity. And this is the meditative mind that can insight the phenomena and awaken, that can see things as they are, that can realize the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And with that, wisdom will arise. That's why all the five spiritual faculties, saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, they will surface. And when they are there, the five mental hindrance or the five obstacles, they will cease. It cannot arise. And this is how you can become beautiful. This is how you can progress. And Dhamma will unfold in your cultivation. So remember this advice and have this understanding, that you will never have to worry about whether you have good roots or don't have good roots. And you will never deviate. When there is faith, saddha, virya, it will drive you. Then if you are diligent, diligently cultivate to develop sati and stabilize it to samadhi, then wisdom will arise. With this five spiritual faculty developed, once you are able to have this five spiritual faculty, it will allow you to understand spiritual teaching, and it will stabilize your cultivation, and you will progress very fast. Then once your five spiritual faculty become very stable, it become unshakable, then you will realize balas. When they become unshakable, you are destined for enlightenment. Because sati and samadhi will bring about heedfulness. The moment you have sati, you stabilize it into samadhi, then you will become ever mindful. Having sati will make you mindful or aware. Then when you stabilize it, it will make you ever mindful. Then with that state of mind, with sati and samadhi, you can always observe, see things as they are, and awaken insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics. All this become possible. That's why cultivation is just understanding all this. And when you understand all this, cultivation become very simple, very direct, very straightforward. And that day, I think we went through that Thursday class sharing that describe what that true mind is. And even I think from one of the sharing by Brother Song, his nature inside suddenly arises the understanding that this Dhamma are so beautiful, so amazing. is full of what they call amazing qualities. Direct, with clarity, and it can bring forth that transformation, the liberation of mind, the awakening. And it is so wonderful. So everything means that thing is not only concise, direct, and lucid, straight to the point. And it's amazingly wonderful and beautiful. So all this can be realized. Then when we develop the stability of the five spiritual faculties, especially sati leading to samadhi, then we are most of the time with the true mind, the silent mind, in the state of awareness, to observe, to see, to understand. Then through that, we come to know clearly who we are, what we are, and what is this form of mind all about, and how the form of mind function as a human being, following the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, especially the law of karma and paticca samuppada, the 12 links, the law of dependent origination. Then all the other essential Dhamma, they are basic truth that the Buddha has revealed or proclaimed for us to understand. And this is called Dhamma. Dhamma is the teachings of the Buddha, and the teaching of the Buddha is about truth. That's why Dhamma is truth. And the essential Dhamma or truth, they are the Four Noble Truths, because these are very special truth. They are called noble truth because once you awaken to it, you can become noble ones. And during the time of the Buddha, noble ones are called enlightened ones. Enlightened means. That's why Arya, noble. Arya Sangha, the noble Sangha. Arya Satya, noble truth. So the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And all Dhamma, essential Dhamma, spin off from these three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. And they are really wonderful and really beautiful. Okay, we go back to the notes. Okay. So selfish people we have gone through, Okay, I think that paragraph we almost finished, I read the last paragraph. So do not ask whether or not you have good roots. So I have explained to you my version and my understanding, and Master Xuan Hua also have explained in his own way. Then the next paragraph. General say, I will tell you something even more profound. If you did not have good roots, there is absolutely no way that you would be able to come and hear the Buddha Dhamma. And this one is true. This one is true. You don't really have any good roots. Means you have a lot of wrong view or deluded. Then you somehow cannot come and hear the Buddha Dhamma. Because that karmic obstruction will obstruct you. And no way you can come into contact with the Dhamma. Then channel continue. You would not have the necessary causes and conditions to even study Buddhism, not to say cultivate them. Then he said, for example, we who are listening to the Buddha Dhamma now, especially to the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, in past life, have all planted good roots. But you should not ask. I'm not going to answer your question either. Why not? If I say you have good roots, you will become arrogant and say, look at me, the Dhamma master say I have gurus, and no doubt my gurus are not small. You will get stuck up, means become very arrogant. On the other hand, if I say you don't have gurus, and that in fact in your past life, you were a pig or something, this life you are a person, and that is why you are so stupid, you will think, oh, last life I was a pig, now I'm a human being. But it does not mean much. I think I will do a few rotten things and go back to become a pig. Such person always feel like there is nothing going on. When they have eaten their fill, they go to sleep. So I cannot tell you whether or not you have. So Xian Ho also worry about that. Because human being, especially when they hear from their master or their teacher, say, my teacher say I don't have good roots, or that they don't have faith at all. They don't want to count it. That's why forget about all these things. This type of questions are asked only by deluded people who don't have the understanding. First thing first, if you can be born in the sasana period, you sure have good roots. Then if you can become a human being, very high chance you have good roots. You know why I say very high chance you can have good roots? Because to be born a human being is not easy. So here, when they mention about good roots, you have to be careful now. Because here, the good got two meanings. One is basic good, essential good. That's why all other religions who follow all the good advice of most religions, most religions teach you what? And why evil do good, isn't it? It's common for all, isn't it? That's why they have their 10 commandments, what they call the sin and all those things. Things that can be done and things that cannot be done. So they always try to teach you to basically avoid evil to good. Most religion actually advise that. But the third advice, purify your mind, that one is different. So here, when they talk about roots, it doesn't mean the one that is associated with the Buddhist one only. Even other religious activity that are wholesome, virtuous, is also classified under that good. But here, when we talk about good roots, as Buddhists, as Dhamma practitioner, cultivator, we are very specific that these good roots pertain to affinity with the Triple Jap. Understand? So you don't have good roots pertaining to affinity, the Triple Jap, then you may have wholesomeness or goodness, but you cannot meet up with the Triple Jap. Maybe because of your wrong view. But other religion, they are very, very kind, pious, and good people. Understand? They also have their virtue, their goodness, their kindness. And most of these people are very helpful too. So you can see them. But because their belief is in that religion, understand? So because of that, it actually obstructs them from receiving the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, unless they have open mind, willing to discover all truth or share and develop all understanding that are virtuous and that can bring forth wholesomeness, be a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. If they have such open mind, then they can receive. But if they are very rigid in their approach, then they can't. They can be stuck, actually. So Good roots here, just make a note. The Buddhists here refer to root that has affinity with the triple jab. Okay, we go back to the notes. Instead of asking me, ask yourself whether or not you can cultivate in accordance with the Dhamma way. This one is better. This advice is very good. If you can, then even if you do not have good roots, you are getting them. If you do not cultivate in accordance with the Dhamma, then even if you have good roots, you may deplete them. Here he used the word losing them, deplete actually. The Buddha knew that these people have never in past life planted good roots. So this one is according to the sutta, means they don't have the good roots to receive the supreme vehicle teaching. You understand or not? They can be first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, and fourth stage of sainthood. But here, that good roots refer to the affinity with the supreme vehicle. Yeah. That's why here the sutta says they are firmly attached to the five desires. So this one may not be completely true. When you are already an arahant, you don't have attachment to the five desires. Yeah. So here, Chen Hua under the commentary say they are stuck. They cannot break through their desire of the senses. Means the form, sound, smell, taste, and tactile. There is another list of the five desire. That one is the worldly one. Wealth, materialistic form, fame, food, and sleep. It is said, wealth, materialistic form, fame, food, and sleep are the five roots of the hell. So this one is just like there is this English saying, is it money is the source of all evil? You remember hearing all this type of description? If you have money, it will bring about downfall. Because when you are deluded, you don't know how to use money appropriately. It will bring about downfall. So there is another saying. Anyway, I cannot recall. When I recall, I let you know. So it is mentioned. If you get attached to any one of these five desires, it can drag you down into hell. So Shen Hua say that they are the five roots of the hell. You could also call them the five chains. They are like heavy chain of fetters that drag you into hell. Oh, money is a source of all evil. I think something like that. But actually, what you have to understand is wealth, materialistic form, fame, food, and sleep. So here, wealth means whatever money. It depends on the understanding behind. If you have understanding, there are no issue. I always explain, money is just money, understand? It's neither good or bad, like our thought process. It depends on the user, understand? Technology is the same. So when you have wealth, when you have Dhamma, you have no problem, understand? When you have Dhamma, materialistic form, fame, good food, and sleep, no issue, no problem. So the key understanding is whether you have Dhamma or not. The user of all these things, the user of money, the user of thought, the user of technology, and the user of all these materialistic things that you can have in this world. If you have Dhamma wisdom, you know how to use them appropriately, then there is no issue. Then money need not be evil. Money can be very wholesome. Can use money to help a lot of people. Wealth also same. So all this understanding are important. Eh? Yeah. Okay, I read on. Some people are greedy for wealth. They crave material possession to the point that they would do anything, regardless of whether it was right or wrong, to get what they want. Basically, one should not covet wealth, which is rightfully gained. But such people have no conscience in matters of materialistic gain. Form refers to beauty, especially the attraction of the opposite sex. This is the easiest matter in which people transgress, no matter who they are. When man and woman meet, their first thought is to determine whether the other person is beautiful or ugly. Such questions are always foremost in the people's mind. If people are not greedy for wealth or materialistic form, they may be greedy for fame and get locked in the chain of fame. They enjoy nothing but running around promoting themselves in all kinds of ways, advertising themselves. A certain lay person had a card printed saying that he was president of such and such an organization, head of such and such a group, and so on. The entire card was covered with his title. Shenhua asked, "What for?" When you take a look at his card and see all his fancy title, you are supposed to be very impressed. That is the way fame is really important to people. So these are what they call society's way of looking at things, huh? Because they value title, fame, huh? They also value a lot of external appearances. Yeah. So when you put too much emphasis on form Dhamma, then you lose your sense of wisdom or spirituality, not understanding that the form and mind is not really what you think. All this can bring about suffering, just like the first noble truth reality, the seventh reality, when you cannot get what you want. Means fame to you is so important. You must develop a lot of famous fame that people will respect you, praise you, and all that. But then when you cannot get what you want, what happened? When you make mistake, ill fame come. Then you get into big trouble because you attach to all these worldly things. These are society's way of cognition of like grading the living beings. But if you have wisdom, you will not be deluded by it or deceived by it. Yeah, this is what society is. Society recognizes them. But is there any value? It makes you feel good, isn't it? Proud, isn't it? When you develop fame, when people say that you are very special. Like recently, I think Michelle Yeoh has become very famous, full of fame. But she is still okay because I think she didn't get the repercussion of fame yet. There are a lot of very famous actors and actresses. When they grow old, they cannot come to terms with that reality. Or they look at the face now and the face then when they were given the award. They say totally different. Yeah. Then sometimes they become too famous, too much fame. Like Michael Jackson, developed their own problem. There are a lot of very famous actresses. I think they have issue, they have problem. Some they die early. They also end up getting involved with drugs and all this thing. Then some accident, like Michael Schumacher, coma and all those things. So these are worldly faith, like they call it the eight wonders of our world or the worldly condition. Wherever there is gain, there will be loss. So gain and loss is one pair. Fame and ill fame is another pair. So all this, we have to develop the wisdom to stand beyond them. Okay, I'll read on. I have to end soon. There are others who do not care for wealth, materialistic form, or fame. But guess what? They love to eat. They do not eat their own food either, but specialize in cheating other people out of meals. When they hear there is a party, they crash the gate, sit down and eat their fill. A fish eye concealed among the pearls. Because of this, everyone looked down on them as gluttons, and they are objects of scorn wherever they go. So this is Xuanhua's expression. Those who are not greedy for wealth, food, materialistic form, fame, may be greedy for sleep. They can get without eating. Oh, sorry, they can go without eating, but they would not hear of missing their sleep. They sleep and sleep until their brain get all stuck together and they lost all their wisdom. They sleep themselves into stupidity. In Hong Kong and Taiwan, people sometimes sleep to death. Why? It's because they like to sleep. They sleep to death, feeling extremely happy. They are not aware of anything at all and die in their sleep, painlessly. That is the fifth root of hell. So these are the worldly state of mind that can bring about downfall. You don't have the Dhamma. Therefore, once you understand the Buddha Dhamma, you should reform your bad habits. You cannot reform all the five immediately. You can do it slowly. So this is Xuanhua's advice. Okay, I read on a bit more. And out of stupidity and love comes affliction. Because they cling to the five desires, they give rise to stupidity. Here means they lack the Dhamma understanding and grow attached to them. Because of their craving for the five desires, they think up all kinds of ways to abstain them. When their efforts are frustrated, they give rise to affliction. Why does affliction arise? It's because they have no wisdom. They do not see their state clearly. They do not understand. One should reflect upon the principle and return the light, Hui Guang Fan Zhao, awaken to the futility of one's action. Not only do they fail to wake up, they get afflicted. So this one here, what Xuanhua mentioned, is quite a common mistake of cultivator. Because a lot of cultivator, very funny, you know, they don't use wisdom to cultivate. When they heard of this five desire, they say, these are dangerous things. Oh, so they scared of wealth, they scared of fame, scared of everything that is described there. Because Xuanhua say, these are the five desires that will track you down to hell. So what they do? They think out of all kind of way to abstain from them. Understand? Try not to have wealth. Try not to have fame. This is not the way of cultivation. Do you understand? Cultivation is not to fear them. Understand? Not to resist them, understand? is to develop a clear understanding of what they are, then develop the Dhamma understanding to use them appropriately. Basically, the five things that are described, they are neither good or bad. And these are worldly things that living beings can have, like good food, good property and house, residence. You can have wealth. You can have materialistic things. You can look at beautiful things. You can appreciate beautiful arts, everything. Then, of course, you have the means. You want to pamper yourself. You can own some of the good things. But the only thing that the Dhamma wants you to understand is do not attach, do not cling, do not grasp, do not be deluded and deceived by all this. These are condition arising things, dependent originating. If there are causes and conditions for you to have the means, why not? But do not be deluded by it. Do not be like drawn into it through craving, through desire, through lust. Whatever that is within the Dhamma means or the Dhamma way, with that understanding, you are free to live life. That's why life can be very meaningful and very wonderful and very amazing too. So life is not what people think. You don't do the opposite. When you undertake the precepts to abstain, that is different, Anasana, because you are under training. Because these are major evils. You have to undertake the training rule to abstain from committing all this. But when it comes to wealth, you know how to make use of it for the better of society and all. Why not? It's even in the teaching. The four types of happiness that the lay people can have. The first one is the happiness of ownership or possession. You have earned them or received them to the rightful means through proper right livelihood. Then you can own them. And there is joy, especially like I explained last night, my first salary that I received when I came out to work. Then later on, you know, to make use of this wealth or whatever possession that you have for the good of the many, for yourself, for your loved ones, and others. So this is the second happiness. Happiness of able to use them appropriately for the happiness of all. To help yourself, to help your loved ones and others. And this is what happiness is all about. Joy, life. Then the third type of happiness is to be free from death, the Buddha said. You can use that to make yourself free of death. There is another type of happiness that you will enjoy. And this is what wealth can allow you to do. Not only help yourself free from that, your children, your relative or somebody close to you that you can help. You can help them free. Then if you have the generosity to help others, to have the good life or to have the basic needs of life, you can also do it. Then finally, of course, to live a blameless life, that wise one will not blame you. When you have the means, you don't have to be so petty anymore. You know? Like Sam used to say, if money can solve the problem, then it's not a problem. Unless you don't have money. But if you have money and money can resolve issue or problem, then use the money appropriately to resolve all this so that you live a blameless life. You don't have to be so like petty and like when you are very calculative or very deceitful. So all this is the understanding behind. Huh? Okay, we have to stop right here. I will mark that page, then we will end there. Huh? Okay, I will mark this page, then we will end there. So because of all the desire, okay, they fall into the three evil paths. Okay, we are at the bottom of page 451. Huh? Yeah. See now you want to mark it, huh?
Yes.
Because of all the desire, they fall into three evil paths. Okay, we stopped. No, no, up there. The black one. Yes. Okay. Now we can continue your second session, which is meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. And also Dharma and daily life, whatever sharing that Kayamita might want to share or comment on what we have shared in today's topic. Okay. We will open up now. Anybody want to come in? Yeah. Here on the physical class, we have quite a number. Elsie, PG, Hui Rong, Han, Pucheng sister, Jin Hao, Chu Po Lian, my wife. That's all. Okay, then online we have Sister Ying Bi, Man Yuan, Pucheng, and Stephanie. Anybody wants to come in? The mic is here.
Good evening, Batio, Mr. Steele.
Ah, good evening, yes.
And all Kalyanamita.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Chin Hao, for nominating me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to share.
Anything. You can comment. No, wait. Just off that mic. Off that mic, then. Basically, just off it. Okay, sorry. Just now there's some distortion. Maybe you can share anything regarding even last Thursday or Sunday class or the other Tuesday one also can. Or add in to what Pocheng, Alicia, Jin Hao, Song, they all have shared. Or whatever you want to develop as sharing, you can.
Maybe today's sharing by Baratio
yes,
is very, how to say, very down to the basic, that how to develop the five spiritual faculties.
Yes.
Five
that
spiritual
one is
faculties,
very good.
To make it stable and unshakable, to become five spiritual powers.
Yes.
Yeah, that is very clear today. That's how our, once we have full confidence and trust in the Buddha and his teaching, there's the Saddha part.
Yes.
So then the Viriya will be, how to say, the Viriya will come up to,
yeah, it will come out by itself. Where that faith will drive you. Faith
drive
is
us.
Developed through understanding clearly who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is. That's why that one will drive the cultivator the way. So when Saddha and Virya is developed, you will cultivate Sati, because that is what heedfulness is all about. Sati stabilizing into Samadhi to become heedful. Then from there, wisdom will arise. Then the five spiritual faculty in place, the five mental hindrance will cease. Then you follow Abhijja Sutta after that. Then one will progress very fast until it becomes very stable. Abhijja Sutta, once you reach stage 4 and stage 5, very likely by then your spiritual faculty already unshakable. Otherwise, you cannot become an Arya. But after stage 4 and 5, your mind state is already very stable. That's why step 6 and 7 is a natural occurrence or consequence of the first 5 steps. Then after that, of course, step 8 is the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. Then from there, The seven factors of enlightenment, stage nine, will keep on manifesting to give further faith that you are on the right path. Otherwise, the factor of enlightenment cannot arise. Then once the factors of enlightenment arise, enlightenment in the here and now, step 10, is guaranteed, sure. Yeah. So a lot of cultivators of the way, especially Kayamita, like that day song sharing also, he starts to understand the beauty, even Jin Hao also mentioned, the beauty of the seven factors of enlightenment. Yeah. From sati, once you develop the spiritual faculty of sati, then you can investigate the Dhamma. Yeah. Once you investigate the Dhamma, it stand up to investigation. There's a lot of joy, you know. That's why this virya will come about. The faith followed by the virya. So the virya is a third enlightenment factor. Then when there is virya, you will cultivate diligently. Then that sati will continue to stabilize until you realize piti, leading to pasati. Pasati is a fifth enlightenment factor that is not easy to arise unless you have the understanding. There's a lot of people cannot get it, pasati. They always go from piti to sukang, which is the jhanic factor. From piti to pasati, very few people know how to do. Well, pasati is actually the true mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, our true mind, the silent mind. That one, you shouldn't do anything. You just relax, maintain awareness, and stay there until mind enters sati, that part. Once you get that right, then it will stabilize and become smadhi. Then your daily mindfulness, sati, sampajana, all will stabilize. Then after that, the last factor of enlightenment, which is equanimity, born of wisdom, that one will come about. Well, once you have sati and samadhi developed, like I explained just now, the spiritual faculty, the last spiritual faculty of panya, they will stabilize. They will arise. Then they will stabilize. Then when panya stabilize, it gives rise to the last factors of enlightenment, which is upekkha. The mind becomes equanimous because of that wisdom. So all these are very beautiful. They are all related. So for you, Amy, because you have the understanding, you can actually understand them and capture all this final point. That's why cultivation is very easy, very straightforward, and very basic when you understand this. The five spiritual faculty is what you need to move. Yeah, good. Anyway, you continue here.
Yeah, yes. Exactly like what Brother Teo always advise us. Once we have these five spiritual faculties, so the opposite five hindrances
mental hindrance will cease. Yes.
Yes, there'll be no more there. That's how we can further strengthen and stabilize the five spiritual faculties.
Correct, correct. Because without the mental hindrance, you will progress all the way on. Because it no more hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So most of the time, your mind is with the five spiritual faculties, which are the meditative mind states, especially sati and samadhi. Then with the wisdom, it becomes yoniso manasikara. So sati, samadhi, and yoniso manasikara, these three move together as one. They move as one. Without sati, there is no samadhi. Without sati and samadhi, there is no wisdom. Without stability of wisdom, sati and samadhi cannot become unshakable. They move together. That's why these last three spiritual faculty, they are the real meditative mind states. But saddha and virya are also very important because they are the initial spiritual faculty that is needed for the mind to be calm and composed. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed. Then it will drive you. That's why that faith has to be developed with understanding as to who the Buddha is and how wise a being and virtuous a being he is. And because of his aeons and aeons of cultivation, he is able to come to that great realization, perfection of cultivation, to become the fully enlightened one. And because of that, he can summarize all of life into just his beautiful Four Noble Truths that can bring about transformation in the living being, enlightenment in the here and the now, and give rise to limitless virtue, wisdom, and understanding, and become a great blessing to all of humanity and mankind. And this is what faith is all about. When you understand all this, your faith will drive you. That's why in the early day of my cultivation, I remember, that's it, no more other teaching. This is the only teaching that can give rise to this type of understanding and this type of cultivation, perfection. There is no other teaching in the world that can bring forth this type of amazing teachings and awakening. That's why cultivate the other way, especially those who really understand the extent of the Buddha's cultivation and his teaching, their faith becomes unshakable, very, very strong. Then it will dry them all out. Yeah. Ever since 1971, when I read the Four Noble Truths from that Chief Reverend's edition one book, that one is What Buddhists Believe, I remember. I saw the Four Noble Truths inside there. So that time, my nature like connect and awaken. Connect and awaken in the sense that it's the preliminary, the initial one. That straight away I knew, you know, without anybody explaining to me. Nobody in this universe can summarize all of life into just Four Noble Truths. So beautiful. The essence. I say he has to be the real one, the Buddha. Because even if I were to become enlightened at that time, I tell myself, I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just Four Noble Truths. So beautiful and so like concise, so lucid and so direct, and can be a teaching to be developed. Then he add in the three turning, giving rise to a three type of corresponding wisdom. That's why he is a Sammasambuddha. And that one really amazes my nature. That's why I said from there on, I didn't look for anything else. I just all out to cultivate this Buddha Dharma. Yeah. Then when I was in the uni, Form 5, 71, I saw the book. Then I knew what this thing is. Then immediately after Form 6, I went to uni. The first day I was there, I met Chief Reverend, the author of the book. Then everything fell into place, and the rest is history. So all these are very amazing when you understand. Very good, Amy. Sadhu. You continue.
Yeah.
Here.
Yes. Like what Brother Teo told us, this sati and samadhi is not easy to cultivate, but
yes,
when we have the full faith and viriya to know the importance of the heedfulness,
yes,
then we will put in our effort lah,
wholeheartedly. Sati will come
yeah.
about. You will go all out to cultivate, and you will develop
yes.
it, and it will arise. Then when it arises, it becomes so different. Because this is awareness-based, sati-based, leading to heedfulness, not thought-based. That's why the whole cultivation, whether it debate or not debate, depend on the understanding of sati. When people don't understand what is sati, they will go thought-based. They can never develop awareness base or sati base leading to heedfulness. And that cultivation line is so fine, not able To realize what sati is can cause the whole division. That's why the Buddha Dharma, if you understand, it's very easy to develop and cultivate. If you don't have the understanding, they can be lost for very long. Because thought-based cultivation can really bring about a lot of division, a lot of deviation, and a lot of very complicated type of thought-based energy field cultivation, which is very different from the awareness space. So that part also, for people who understand, it's very difficult to teach living being on that. But for Kaya Metta, lucky, a lot of you all now can have the understanding and accept the thing and see it very clearly. The difference between awareness space and thought base is world of a difference. One thought base, you cannot realize the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond time. It's very obvious. So those who go the thought base on, very difficult, very difficult. So awareness or sati need to be developed with clear understanding. And to understand that is not easy. If I am not share all the unique code, everything, very few people can understand what sati is, what the true mind is, what the awareness nature within is. So all these are not something very easy to comprehend, to develop and learn. Unless you encounter somebody that has this understanding. So what you have brought out is very good, Amy. What you highlighted based on what we shared today, the five spiritual faculty. Everything is so beautiful for in the place, but the catch is at the sati level. When the virya drive you to cultivate sati, if you don't know what is sati, what is awareness within, you don't know what the true mind and the mundane mind is, they cannot get it. They will definitely debate. And the worst is, if they don't have any teacher or guide who have the understanding, they will continue with what is normally taught and popularly accepted thought-based Theravada teaching. A lot of people is doing those type of so-called meditation or cultivation. Not to say they can't finally end up developing the understanding. They can. Even during the Buddha's time, those who do jhana, thought-based, until very advanced, if they know how to release out their absorption, their concentration, and go into the four foundation of mindfulness, go into the daily mindfulness, develop the contemplative wisdom to develop the yoniso manasikara. Once they do that, they will be okay. Oh, Ingbi, yeah, you continue. A song is back. We can get hold of a song after that. Ingbi, you continue.
Yeah, exactly. Just now I was going to touch on the guide. If there is this sadda and viriya, and there is no guide consistently to guide us, like what Brother Teo has been doing to all Kalyanamita,
yes,
there will be a lot of time consuming to aware ourselves. How sati
yes.
can arise.
To find it yourself, it will take a long time. Not easy. That one is not easy. That's why that sati, I realize hardly any cultivator of the way can describe it clearly. They are always silent on what sati is. They dare not go deep into it.
They run out of words to describe it.
Yeah, because they don't know what that thing is. If you don't know what that thing is, you only copy what is commonly used. So they will tell you, sati has a lot to do with memory, recollection, and all those things. But this is what is in the commentary. But that is the byproduct of
small
sati.
portion.
When you have sati, even you are mindful and aware, you can recollect. That one is correct. But it has nothing to do with memory. It can arise as a recollection of what the thing is because you are aware of what is going on. When you are aware, you can recall, you can recollect. Because the awareness, when it's connected to the form and mind, is connected to the memory. But you don't have to perceive it and accumulate into the memory because you aware before you can recollect. So the awareness is before the knowing one, before the perception and all. But the awareness nature is just aware. And the mundane mind that is connected to the awareness and the wisdom will know what this thing is. That's why it's a movement within that the cultivator of the way that is aware can understand. The awareness can see the mundane mind, can see thought, can see all this movement, can see all the related activity that the mundane mind manifests. But the thought cannot see awareness. So this nature, which is very different from the mundane mind, need to be understood, need to be realized. And you need to stabilize it until you are so clear about this thing, then you can see how it manifests into the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then how it creates all those activity and movement. That's why I say you will come to know clearly who are you, what are you. Then how will your mind stir? How did you react and stir at the moment of sense experience? Then you will be able to straighten your view, to correct your wrong view, then stabilize your understanding. Then you will have more moment of peace. Means the equanimous mind that does not stir and react. That is the beginning of sati, stability, space between thought. When that one stabilize because you have yoniso manasikara, then sati sampajana can become a living reality. Step four leading to step five. Then from there, the Dhamma will keep on unfolding, keep on arising. Before the sati come in, everything that people cultivate and come to know is thought-based, knowledge-based. They think they know. That day, I think I discussed with Jin Hao, if I'm not wrong, Sunday class. After that, we went for dinner. Because a lot of people, they realize after they cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, means they like have a lot of understanding, no? But actually these are all not the true Dhamma realization, no? Not awareness based that awaken and realize on, no? Not through yoniso manasikara where we contemplate, reflect and stabilize our understanding, no? Most of these are knowledge based on thought based. They read about it, then they like what Xuan Hua mentioned, the evil roots of all evil. So they must not have anger, must not have hatred, must not have fear. So they want to do away with it. They want to like abstain from it. They don't want to get angry. This is all wrong view already. Well, anger was never you. Fear was never you. Why you want to get rid of it? So this understanding was not there. That's why when they are hit with the first noble truth, reality, when it evolved themselves, they cannot go. In fact, a lot of people told me they cannot go. That day Joyce came, he also told me, he said, so many years they cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. When they confront the first noble truth, they cannot go. They cannot take it. They are still affected. Why? Because these are not awareness based, not yoniso manasikara. It cannot prompt them. Fear arise, anxiety, worry. Then they cling, grasp so strongly. It's like so real to them. And they panic, they panic. So all this is what Dhamma is. When you cultivate correctly, the yoniso manasikara that come out and prompt you can deal with life. You become different. You can accept whatever happens. You can come to terms with whatever reality that manifests. No more problem. And this one you also experienced before, maybe many times already. And a lot of this you can see clearly between the true awareness-based Dharma practitioner and the one that is thought-based, world of a difference. One cannot cope, one can cope. Okay, Amy? You continue.
To me, all this duality, right, Theo, like what you say, duality is always there in the conditional Dhamma.
That
it's always
important
there.
understanding must be there. Yes.
Yes. So once we have the wisdom or basic
unconditioned wisdom.
Once we have some basic understanding, then we maybe in the beginning we may tend to react on the duality.
Correct.
But
the
once,
habitual tendency but not completely rooted out, but immediately you will become aware one. Then
yes,
straight away you will see it will not affect you anymore already.
Yes. Sometimes it won't affect me, but when the thing is over, when I alone when I'm alone again, I will reflect, contemplate on it. How come I was not calm enough to see the things happening, sustaining and disappearing?
Yeah, yeah,
Because,
yeah.
yeah,
Initially,
all
the reflection will have that, but you will be able to realize it later on when it stabilized completely. Then the whole thing rooted out become very different. Not only you can see, you know, you like, there is this joy inside or no. It cannot move already or no inside. Totally no, like you understand, wu xiang, he no you, he no me. No mark or self, no mark or others, no mark or dhamma, nothing. So that wu xiang is very powerful. That empty nature existence, no reality. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of it. But the unconditioned dhamma that one has developed, like you came to understand early on, is so different. Whereas the conditioned dhamma, like you explained very well, is within the conditioned world, duality exists. Understand? You can accept it. You can know this is duality. It exists and it affects living beings. But for those who have the unconditioned dhamma understanding, they can come to terms with it and accept it very well. Initially, that slight movement, like you experience, is not a problem at all. Because that is the initial part when you develop the understanding already, that habitual tendency to react or to be affected a little bit, not really affected, is the mind's movement, you aware. Immediately you're aware, then the thing gone. Then like you say, when you're alone, you contemplate, you reflect, how come at that moment when it arises, you cannot be what? Don't worry about that. Well, that one is what I call analysis. Don't try to analyze. Tell yourself, once the wisdom stabilize, then this thing become very natural. It's gone. It's no longer the way it's supposed to move. It will move in a different movement. Means once that thing hit, immediately the understanding is so stable and so profound, there is no more movement. Then, like I explained just now, he know you, he know me, no maka. That thing come out, that yoniso manasikara, come out and prompt you. Then you know, each year you wei fa, zu mong huan pao yin, zu lu yi lu dian, ying zuo lu si guan. It becomes so beautiful, though, and the whole thing, like what song went through, that Dhamma becomes so amazing, though, that it like float out and let you understand. then you will have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha and his teaching. So all this will manifest.
Yes,
Okay,
yes,
Vivi?
definitely. Yes. So that's why once I have gone through the contemplation, so I determine myself that
Sadhu,
next
very
time if
good.
I were to face the same thing, I will know what to do. I will
Sadhu, sadhu,
I
sadhu.
should be able to see the arising and the
Ah,
disappearing
the
of it.
passing away.
Yes.
There and
Yes.
then. Ah. The other thing is, maybe I forgot to add this on. Earlier on, I mentioned before. After you reflect, you're supposed to straighten your view. Understand? Straighten your view means stabilize the understanding. He know you, he know me. Go deeper into it. Instead of sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang. That one is just the initial level of understanding. That one is not so penetrative. The very penetrative one is the no mark one. He know you, he know me one. Then when you see very clearly, then when you contemplate and reflect like what I teach you. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Angry people do angry things. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be. So stabilize all this contemplation, this understanding. Then the other one is what Acharyantra told me. We choose, accept everything as natural. Means only mighty nature rolling by. No reality. Means no mark. Nothing. Everything is mighty nature rolling by, following nature's law. So contemplate, stabilize all this understanding. And what you did, you aditan or you aspire to have those understanding is the correct one. But to do that, you must straighten your view. So to straighten your view means to stabilize the understanding. Continue to do it until it become very stable. Then one day you realize, no more, completely gone. Yeah. And you can see things as they are. The moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away. Then that thing when it contact, straight away it stop at the heart there. Then no more movement. Yeah. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, I'm going to finish my part. That's
Yeah, you
Brother,
finish.
Brother Song, can I nominate you to continue your sharing, please?
Can,
Brother
can,
Song?
can.
Okay, wait lah.
Never mind, never mind. Let him share
Okay.
a bit.
Yeah, Brother Song, please. Can you please do
Oh,
your
okay,
sharing?
okay.
Yes.
Song, are you there?
yeah, Brother Teo.
Ah, 你还有一段是吗?
应该是没有。就 basically 就已经讲完了
OK，那边我听你讲，还有一段，没有了，就是完了，就是回到
daily 了以后，就是我那天的 sharing 就是回到 daily 了以后，就是来，哦，就是一直这样子看 but 我这几天我是觉得哦，你里面很多的那种gratitude 很多的感恩。
Jinhao, can you on the volume? Song. Because PG says she can't hear very soft. Song, you continue.
Okay, then after that, it's a continuous, 就会觉得, like, 很多的感恩, like, 不懂, 就是你看到人了, 就是, like, just accept, 很容易的去 accept 在 daily 里面很容易的去 accept 所有的 conditions like that then you 再 continue the thing where the dharma 哇这一次听了真的是很多很多的 dharma 在里面会不一样咯
对对对对 even the unique code everything
对，其实 brother 我要 share 一个，就是说，其实我 benefit from 这个 Unicode when I was in Nepal 哦，就是那时我在 Nepal 的那个 10-day course 里面，我拿了你的 Unicode， 然后我就每一天在 repeat 的在看，我看了6次 during the course，然后我in the course 我忽然间 benefited from 这个 Unicode， 然后我也明白了那个 Unison Manasikara 应该要怎样的去。 contemplate. The shirt was full of joints
Joy, no
during that
wonder.
call. Yeah.
No
So
wonder
that's why
after that
every day
你去那个
afternoon.
spiritual trip 啊，这个全部发出来啊。
对。但是
OK。
那时我在Nepal 的时候，during lunch hour，我一吃完了饭，我就坐住，哇，我就 keep on continue to reflect 跟 contemplate，然后就你的那些 Unicode 里面
萨
的
杜
东
很
西，
好。
我每一天都这样。And then 我 morning and afternoon 我又一直去看，我一直看一直看，等我发现到你每一次看的那个 understanding 会不一
啊，
样。
不一样，
但
又
是
不一样
，like
了，
对对对，That's why full of 那个 confidence and full of joy 啊。但是我就在那一次，我就 understand，突然间我就 understand，哦，这个 Unisoma Nasikara 是怎样的去cultivate 跟 stabilize
对。
That's why 这个Unicode 里面真的是有很多很 unique 哦，很 brighter 很多很 precise 的那个
It's very
Dharma，
unique one. The code is very unique.
它是。
Because it's very
它是
deep in its meaning and very profound.
yes，它是 direct，所以你不需要很
Direct one,
长的
very
那
direct
个，
one to the nature one.
对，所以只要我们每次一直去很有 patience 的去读，去 contemplate，然后让它慢慢的 stabilize 的话，一定会 benefit from 那个 Unicode 的这本书
对
啊，
对对，
对。
萨丢，真
等
好。
下，等下，我就觉得，哎，我突然间那天波清他有就有提到
那
过，
个 Anita Singh 你了解了？对，
对对对，然后他也有提到这个 Unisoma Nasikara 非常的重要
对对
哦，
对
然后我
，That
才
step very
recall，
important。Jin Hao 也 realized that。The Sunday sharing, then we'll explain how to contemplate, how to develop the Unisoma Nasikara. That one very beautiful.
Yeah, but
Dhamma.
initially, maybe initially it's not 不容易了解。但是我
对
是拿
对
了很
对。
久，那 but 我一直不断的一直去去看，不然就你的那些 Dharma book。But 这一次我在这个Nepal，我一看，我不怎么我看这个Unicode，我看了有6次。Actually，我在 in between，我就忽然间我抓到了什么是 Unisoma Nasikara，等一下我
，Sado。
就很有 faith，很 confident，就一直是每一天一直去 contemplate，一直去reflect 很多的 Dharma，我
Sado。
甚至我一直 extend to 那些 Mahayana 的，一直 extend 出去，一直 extend 出去 during
对
的我
对。
的那个 course 所以就变成我的 next 那个 India course 的时候，它就 benefited because of 这个Unisoma Nasikara，我有去做到。
Correct. That one help you a lot, yeah.
对对对，等于说以前我也是很像那天伯清一直有 share 的时候，很多人一直讲我不能够 stabilize 那个 daily
Sati,
mindfulness，
deliver because 不够 Unisoma
yes
Nasikara,
correct correct，这个第四个哎这个第四个 step 没有做到 stabilize
对，
它
That's why I always remind you all what my teacher told me. No less than 6 times he told me personally, we choose contemplate, reflect, inquire until very, very clear. He used the word very, very clear. And I didn't know that was second turning Unisoma Nasikara until later when I came out to share, when Yu-Chan asked me to share. Then only I came to know this is what second turning wisdom is all about. And this is what I have been doing for so many years. That's why it stabilized until it is so clear. Very good, Sadhu.
所以我要是那对我在尼泊尔的时候，我一直哇，我的很多的 joy，很多的 gratitude，我要
是
感
吗？
谢 Sister Wendy，他 initiative 的去做这个 Unicode，then
Yoniso
benefited
Manasikara。
我们。Yes，个 Unicode 的这个这一本书，因为它里面真的很多很 precise、很 wonderful、很 direct 的那个 Dharma。只要我们只要一直读，一直去 understand，一直去 contemplate stabilize 的话，这一些 dharma 它会 surface 会帮助我们去 penetrate 这个Buddha dharma。
对，then 你的修行就 transform 了，the
对，会
stability
不一
or
样。
awareness become very stable。So 现在那天 Sunday，I think Jin Hao also mentioned，he said 现在看 Unicode 懂一点点了，以前不能够 follow at all，totally cannot follow。 At least now he got joy, you know. He see the Unicode, wow, so much thing inside there. So, 慢慢了解. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah. So, that's why it's a, 这个 fit 很重要咯, 就是当你看到了, 当你看到了很多的那个, Dharma 在里面的时候, 你的 fit 会升起的时候, 你就会自动的一直拉, 就会一直在往前, 一直去 cultivate 咯,
对对对对对, it will drive you.
Yeah, it will drive. Yes, yeah. So, okay, very good. Okay, 我今天的分享到这边.
可以啊.
我们拜师 maybe 再 continue.
可以可以
没有, 因为我在 India 的一个 Mahayana temple 里面有一个 stanza, so maybe 我们拜师 talk about it.
拜师 share. Thank you, thank you, Sadhu. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Okay, thank you so much for the good sharing, to Amy and Song. Let us now share merits and transform merits, then we will and the whole thing by going through the closing puja. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana etta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sab sampati siddhya. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo wasatkalena sasa sampati heto cha. Vito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.